Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, on paper, I guess, being your own boss sounds great until the tax season rolls around. And for sole proprietors, the freedom of running a business comes with serious tax responsibilities, from deductions and VAT to PAYE and provisional returns. The rules are strict and the penalties often are unforgiving. So what are the do's and don'ts? It's worth taking a quick refresher on this. And I'm in conversation now from FNB Commercial with Rorisang Mopi. Rorisang, welcome. Thank you very much indeed. So let's get real. How many sole proprietors, in your opinion, are maybe non-compliant and they don't even know it?
So, Jeremy, if you think about just how customers tend to sometimes just take it for granted, right, that if you are really a business and you're taking yourself seriously, it's when you've actually registered for CIPC. So I'd argue there's quite a lot of sole proprietors that are running businesses and are definitely non-compliant from a tax perspective, purely just from that assumption that you really are a true business and should be registering for tax as a business if you have registered with CIPC.
Part of the problem, I understand, is that many small business owners would confuse personal and business income. And that's a big risk, isn't it, for an audit?
No, it's definitely a big risk. I mean, if you're not necessarily splitting your activity from a personal and business perspective from day one, it then becomes very difficult even to prove to SARS how much you've actually earned for the business, how much of that should have actually been recognized as personal, and I guess splitting it in a manner in which it becomes clear what is business and what is personal.
There seems as well to be very little awareness around provisional tax and IRP 6 filings. Do you think that's just the fault of the business owner, or does SARS need to be doing more to explain the paradigm and to educate?
So I think the responsibility lies with both parties. The challenge that you have if you talk to a lot of small business owners is they tend to see SARS as this big scary entity, right? And by virtue of that, you are already not going to take the effort to try and understand what you need to do in terms of compliance from a tax perspective. So I think the onus does lie with both parties, but definitely I'd say our revenue services definitely does need to do better, right, in terms of just educating our customers to make sure they are aware what those requirements are before they actually caught on the wrong side of the law.
And what are the rules regarding VAT registration, which we know can be very complex sometimes and very costly?
So from a VAT perspective, there's an option to either register from a voluntary perspective or given how much your taxable supplies, and by taxable supplies, we're talking about items that you are either selling or services that you render that are then subject to VAT. So from a voluntary perspective, if your services or the goods that you're selling that are subject to VAT in terms of the VAT Act are above 50,000, you can then choose to voluntarily register for VAT. But the business owner needs to also just be wary that it also comes with a significant administrative burden of submitting these returns to the SARB every month or every 2 months, depending on the VAT category that the customer would have then elected. But from a compulsory perspective, as soon as you've actually exceeded a million in terms of taxable supplies, you are then in a position where VAT registration then becomes compulsory.
Let's move away from VAT. Are there common deductions that small businesses often forget to claim? Because I'm assuming if they do, that's going to be of a cost to them.
No, definitely. I think from an overriding thing perspective, the easy way to identify whether something is deductible or not is whether it was actually incurred as a cost for the purposes of the business. So these include business-related rent, office supplies, advertising, and salaries, which are like the common ones, right? But ones where, I mean, if you think about the fact that we are now living in a hybrid world where some people are actually even working in their homes, home office expenses are ones that can also be deducted if you have a dedicated space for business. And internet and phone bills also tend to get forgotten, but only the portion, again, that is used for business. And you will then also need to be able to keep a record of these so that you can prove to SARS, you know, that you these is what that you have incurred from a business perspective.
Now let's move on to hiring your first employee. And that, I imagine, also comes with a stack of compliance. So I'm thinking PAYE, UIF. As the system stands at the moment, do you think it's too cumbersome? Do you think it's too bureaucratic for small businesses?
It's quite a tough one, to be honest. And I think that's probably why the best approach for small businesses, for you to be properly set up from a SARS perspective, is to engage with a professional to take you through this. And it doesn't even have to be an ongoing expense that you pay. It can be something that is set up from the get-go, and they do it once and set you up and you're ready to run on a monthly basis. But yes, there's definitely expectations if you do have employees in terms of them being registered for PAYE, which is pay as you earn, where that tax would also have to be deducted from their salaries and paid over to SARS with a monthly return. In addition to that, there's also UIF and SDL, which is Skills Development Levy, depending obviously on where you are in terms of your payroll costs, which I wouldn't anticipate you'd have to pay with your first employee. But the moment you start ramping up on staff, this are the other items that would then kick in.
Do you think the current tax system favors large companies with big accounting teams over smaller, leaner entrepreneurs?
So I'd say the way the system from a SARS perspective is set up, it definitely is a little bit more lenient to the smaller businesses, enabling, you know, them and to give them a chance to not have a huge tax bill, to be honest, compared to your bigger corporates that do it then exist.
That's a very good primer. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Rorisang Mope from FNB Commercial. I appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.